Hey, Fish Tank family, let's keep it real. Debt can hit hard and it doesn't care who you are, but you don't have to face it alone. I've seen people struggle and I've seen what a second chance can do.
That's facts, Juice. And when it comes to getting folks out from under it, nobody does it better than Van Horn Law Group. Chad and his team don't just talk the talk. They show up and fight for people when they need it most.
Yeah, I've known Chad Van Horn for over a decade. He's a good friend. And more importantly, I've seen firsthand the real results he and his team deliver for people all over Florida. Bankruptcy, debt relief, whatever it takes to help you breathe again.
Over 10,000 people have gotten a fresh start thanks to Van Horn Law Group. No judgment, just real solutions.
Yeah, so if debt is holding you back, call Van Horn Law Group at 954-637-0000 or visit vanhornlawgroup.com for a free consultation.
And if you mention the Fish Tank, they'll even cover the cost of pulling your credit report so you know exactly where you stand.
That's right. Don't wait. Take control and get back in the game with Van Horn Law Group.
All right, Juice, you know how I always say I've got a guy for everything?
Yeah, yes, you do, Big Seth. You've got a guy for printing, a guy for cigars, a guy for, what was it, custom pool flamingos?
Don't knock the flamingos. But when it comes to remodeling your home, my guy is Alvaro Freitas and his crew at Casabella Design Group.
Yes, your favorite contractor, right?
Well, he is my favorite contractor, and he'll be yours as well with just one call. Casabella has been remodeling homes in South Florida for over 20 years. Kitchens, bathrooms, full home renovations, even outdoor spaces that'll make you forget that you live on that cul-de-sac.
And they don't just make things look good. I mean, they handle permits, planning, construction, all the stuff that makes you want to pull your hair out.
Easy on the hair, okay?
Yeah, right, right.
But trust me, Alvaro shows up with a plan, a crew, and he may even bring you a cafecito. The man is a machine.
Yeah, so if you're ready to love your home again, or, I mean, you just want to make your neighbors jealous, head to CasabellaDG.com and schedule your free consultation.
That's CasabellaDG.com and tell Alvaro the Fish Tank sent you. He might even give you a deal, or at least a hug.
Casabella Design Group, proud partner of the Fish Tank. Let's build something beautiful together.
You're now diving into the Fish Tank.
Dive up in that fish tank. Who that? Sitting down with Seth Living. Seth. OJ. Juice Man. Ooh, and this is strictly for them true fans. Yeah. Golf fans. Number one. Of course, y'all. This ain't no ordinary sports talk. Dive up in that fish tank.
All right, we are back. Fish Tank Live, presented by Van Horn Law Group and Casabella Design Group. Seth Levitt here live from the Casabella Design Group studios. And, of course, the Dolphins Talk YouTube channel. And I am joined by the toughest live podcaster Dan Marino ever played with. He is OJ McDuffie. And Juice, how we feeling?
Man, I'm feeling great, man. Feeling great, Big Seth. You know what I mean? We got some dudes on sabbatical on the set today, you know what I mean? We got some dudes that are actually sitting here working and stuff, you know, messing with kayaks and shit like that. You know what I mean? We grinding while people are chilling, man. You know, Big Seth? So I'm feeling good about where we are, but some of these dudes, man, they don't be vacation. You know, for, yeah, you know, I thought it was like 2 or 3 days. It's been 2 weeks already, man.
I think you could go right.
That's all I'm saying, man.
Yeah, he might have declared residency. Dude, the only person I know who's coming in hotter than you is, I'm looking in the chat already, Sam Marcoute said, I hate everything. Let's get this shit going and start yelling about it. What's up, Sam? What's up, Bohica, T. Lee, Terry? Pino in the house. What's going on, my man, Pete? What a crew. So this is going to be a fun one. But not only is the chat full, despite some people on vacation, the legendary Savak still found a way. He didn't tap out. He said, I'm going to find a way. I'm going to get.
I got to get him there.
Are you tapping into your Jacksonville Wi-Fi? Or are you pulling the Chris Perkins right now? Or are you using some Michigan Wi-Fi?
I'm borrowing some Michigan Wi-Fi for now.
Okay.
It sounds good. Sounds great.
Hey, Sam wants to know if you're playing Mario Kart. He said, too good, too good. Of course, Sun Sentinel columnist and the host of the Dolphins Deep Dive with Perk podcast and the man who had the fastest trigger in the Dolphins presser today with Jeff Halfley. He is Chris Perkins. Burke, good to have you here, man, as always.
Hey man, I'm fired up. We're through halfway through the off-season program, if you consider that mini camp has one more day left, and then we have that little break, and then we get into training camp, and then the season is here. So I think we're kind of halfway through the off-season program, about to turn the page. I'm fired up, man. I'm fired up. I'm ready.
You were clearly fired up in Jeff Hapley's presser. I want to ask you about that real quick. I'm gonna introduce him now because he will be here soon. If you don't see that glorious hair and the sun's out, guns out, muscle shirt, Chad Van Horn will be. He's not here, man. So I'm just throwing it all at him. He will be here shortly. He just had a prior engagement. I think he was filing a petition or something at Perks Condo Association. He will be on here very soon.
That's a late motion right there. Really late motion right there.
If you go with Van Horn Law Group, he will work around the clock for you, apparently.
9 o'clock.
But we also expect we have a friend out on the West Coast who might get here in a little bit. He's be a first timer here in Fish Tank Live. I hope he joins us, but that'll be a nice surprise as well. So if he just pops in, that's the deal. Perk, it is day. This was day two of mini camp. Day three. It was day two of mini camp. I didn't get to watch the Jeff Hapley presser till late, which I kind of like that it's after. It's interesting because you guys are asking him questions prior to practice, which is very different than the way it was done when I worked with Jimmy Johnson and Harvey Green and Dave Wanstead, who we will talk about later tonight. They would always talk after every practice, and you could kind of ask questions. So this is an interesting dynamic. But you came in there today ready to roll, and Jeff Hapley, you know, for those of us who haven't watched it yet, talk to us about what was going on, why you were amped up, and Hapley's response to your performance.
All right, so I wasn't really amped up. So really, I guess I was in mid-season form, but I wasn't amped
up. All right.
So what happened was, you know, you have to ask about injuries, right? So the first thing that I asked about to start off was Zach Sealer. Zach Sealer did not participate in practice yesterday in the mini camp practice. I wanted to know why. And he said that Zach tweaked something minor. Couple of questions go by, and I'm like, you know, Achan practiced yesterday. He went through individual drills. Austin Jackson went through indie drills. Is somebody going to ask about it? Nobody asked about it. So a couple of questions go by. There's a little pause, and that I jump in. I'm like, so what about Achan and Austin Jackson? And I can see Half kind of roll his eyes, and then he gives me the answer. A couple of other questions go by. I'm like, yeah, nobody's asked about Jalen Reagor yet, the new guy, the wide receiver, the first-round pick. So a couple of questions go by. There's a little pause. I ask another question, and then Half is telling everybody else, are y'all going to stop this dude? Like, why is he asking all the questions? Like, why are y'all letting him jump in? You got to have better time. And I'm like, they're all important questions, Half. They're all important questions. So it was stuff that we all needed. It wasn't like – I did ask about Jackson Woodard, the linebacker, who it seemed to flash a couple of times. But, it was a community service. But, yeah, I was probably in November 12th form on June 3rd. So, yeah. I'm sorry.
Hey, Big Seth, I think we talked about this a little bit last week, didn't we? Like now Perk was feeling pretty comfortable with Half. And I think now, you know, Half is like, all right, who this guy, you know, that's we're just talking about whether, you know, it was gonna be a time when Half wasn't as cool. He's still cool about it, but he knows the guy now in the room that he wants to make sure he keeps an eye on Big Seth, and that's Big Perk.
I think there's no doubt about it. Perk was showing out because he knew he was going to be on the live tonight. But I will also say this. So when I was in elementary school, I was in a class that my mother was the teacher of one year, and I was the one kid who couldn't go home and cry to mom that the teacher was mean, so she would rip my ass if I didn't do anything. But if the whole class was being loud or the whole class, she always set an example through me. And I feel like we saw a little glimpse inside. The curtain was pulled back. We saw Half coaching up the rest of the room and using Perk as an example. He essentially was telling everybody else they had to raise their game by noting that Perk was getting in there so quick with the questions and asked if there was kind of a shot clock or a limit on those things. I think right. that's what was going on.
Well, you know what, Big Seth? We said it last week. He'll change.
Yeah. Hey, Harvey was in the room, wasn't he, Perk?
He was. Chad Van Horn in the room now. Yeah, Harvey was there.
Welcome, Chad. Hey. Welcome. Yeah. Barely missed anything. So Harvey was there. And if you go back, I want everyone
Kiara.
To Kiara. Oh, there she is. Beautiful. Little beauty.
Hey, mama.
Beautiful.
Say hi to the fish tank.
Oh, it's up, hey, lady.
Love to see her. Love
we
got to
get her a
her.
Fish tank outfit. That's what we need to figure out.
Yeah. Paula, get her one. We'll get her. Wait, we'll get her fitted for one.
Wait, like what's going up? What's going on up here? What's this couch? This we got a fish tank couch up here. What the hell's going on up here? Hold on, I gotta catch up on some things.
You nice, step away for a minute, and Savak just did a whole. You know what it was? I think he called Alvaro and Casabella Design Group, and he went in there and did a whole remodel on his crib. So
I apologize for being late, but I'm give my daughter back to Gabby, and we're gonna jump right in.
All right, that's right.
Hey, Gabby,
too good. So I want everybody to go listen to the Jeff Hafley press, or you can listen to the presser. What I really want you to do is go all the way to the end, and when it ends, it's kind of like a Marvel movie, you know, where you don't leave at a Marvel movie. You wait till the credits go because there's always a little something extra. Somehow Samuel L. Jackson's going to appear when he wasn't even in the film. So you listen for the end. If you've ever heard my Harvey Green impersonations, you can hear Harvey talk out the end of the room. And he, Coach Jeff, answer all the questions. And he starts cracking some jokes and all that. And it says that the press conference is over. But trust me, it's the best part. Make sure you go check that out. So there you go. Sam, it's a community service hours. So, all right, all good stuff, but I too funny, man. So there's a lot of news, actually. There's a lot of news. It's already June 3rd, so we are post-June 1. So the Dolphins kind of had this windfall, right, with a cap situation. Perk, I guess if you could call it a windfall. 10 draft picks signed on Tuesday. Today we find out that the first-round pick, Caden Proctor, is signed as well. And as you mentioned, the Dolphins traded or signed Jalen Reagor, who was a former first-round pick of the Eagles. If you don't know the name Jalen Reagor, because you're not just just a Travis Wingfield savant that follows the entire league, the one thing I can tell you is the Eagles drafted him in 2020 in the first round with the 21st overall pick. And 22nd, Justin Jefferson was selected. So two wideouts selected, one in a row. Reagor's, on his second team. Justin Jefferson might be the best receiver in the game right now. It turns out the Miami Dolphins are not the only team that has some frustrations with their 2020 first-round picks. But I think that's all the big news. Is there anything that I'm missing, Perk?
No, that's it. The bigger thing to me is the Achane and Austin Jackson being able to participate. Now, only individual drills, no pads or anything like that, but it does let you know that they are on track to a decent recovery. They should be ready for training camp. That's two of the veteran returning starters, two guys that you need. So, but it's newsy. But, we'll always keep it in perspective. It's June 3rd, but it's good to see those guys out there. Jalen Reagor, we'll see what he can do. What does that say about their thoughts on the receivers that they had or bringing in another first rounder? You guys know I'm fascinated, and Juice, I know you know this. There's this circuit of recycled first rounders. So you go back to the Dolphins in 2019, I think Robert Kimdichie and Taco Charlton came here. Stephon Anthony, the edge rusher, came here. Robert Quinn came here. There's always this cycle of recycled first round picks. Reagor is one of them, but it that's all the news, Seth. But it has been a newsy couple of days.
Perk, I played on the team for the Miami Dolphins that had 19 first round picks on it.
Ooh. Wow, and
19, and obviously. All of them weren't drafted by us.
Right.
You know what I mean?
How many can we name? I mean, that was right. Steve Entman, Bernie Kosar.
We had two number one overall picks, and Steve Entman and Irvin Fryer.
That's right. I forgot Irv. Yeah.
Robert's number one overall.
Number one overall
out of Nebraska. Wide receiver that is in a running game. So
like six passes a game.
We had 19 at one point on our football team. You still have Marco Coleman. You still have Troy Vincent, myself, of course, Dan Marino. You know what I mean? Mm. We had had so many dudes that were Lewis Oliver. On the first round pick.
Yeah.
Drew was out.
Jarvis Williams, another, he might have been a second round pick. We had a bunch of, man. 19 out of the same team.
Drew, so I have a question for you, though. Is it true that first round picks get that extra chance? I'm not talking about you, obviously.
Because you sound like Big Seth right now. You sound like Seth already, man.
I had nothing to do with it.
I don't get along with bald heads, so you know that. So is it true that first round picks get a little extra love? They get
shouldn't they? Shouldn't they?
I mean, if there's shit in the NFL, no.
You got shit right away, though. You got to justify that pick, man. These teams have to justify that pick. As long as they can until they can't. Look at us. You talk about 2020. Man, we held on as long as we could with that group. And we still got one of them.
But Juice, I think you're proving my point. The good GMs admit, hey, we screwed up. Okay.
That's their job. The owners don't want to hear that shit, Chad.
Hey, what was the Trey Lance pick? The Trey Lance pick was probably one of the worst picks in the NFL, but their leadership is still there. They admitted it was one of the worst. They traded him to Dallas. They admitted it. I think it's called sunk costs. Like, you make a bad pick, you admit it.
Well, I think they were able to.
I'm gonna lose your job, Chad. Really you own your own business, so you ain't gonna lose your job. But the other bugs, they'll lose their jobs.
Yeah, if Chad sits down in a room and says, guys, I'm sorry, I made a mistake, everyone just nods their head.
Good night, sir. Good night, sir.
But Chad, they admitted it, but they got so lucky. Like, the situation with Brock Purdy, I mean, you want to talk about a unicorn. That was – they got so – and they know they got lucky. That Trey Lance thing and then the subsequent trade to – like, not just the pick of Trey Lance, but everything they got up, they gave up – to get all the way up here. Not maximizing that trade cost this regime their job in many ways. So they just got so lucky that Brock Purdy was – I mean, we thought the Tom Brady situation was a unicorn. This might even – you'll never, ever, ever – it'll go 50 more years before Mr. Irrelevant is even remotely relevant, let alone
– Yeah, Tom Brady was close to Mr. Irrelevant. The 199 is close enough to me, bro.
Yeah, no, I mean, you know, in the 7 Super Bowls and the whole thing. But I'm just saying Brock Purdy is such – whatever is, the is, percentage
they got
is on
lucky. They got lucky as hell with Tom Brady.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, and the distance, Juice, between Brady and Brock Purdy is, what, a decade and a half or something? It's rare. It's very rare.
Yeah, but the last pick in the draft, Perk, not just the seventh round. We're not just talking Quinn Ewers, Skylar Thomas. The last pick in the draft. Literally,
wait a minute, hold up. Let's back up here real quick. Brock Purdy, he ain't that damn special, Big Seth. Why are you writing like that, man?
Because he's
he ain't really done all that.
Juice, well, he took the team to a
Super Bowl.
I don't give a damn what he did. He didn't win it, did he? I don't give a damn.
I've been waiting for someone to get us there.
Brock Purdy ain't about all that. He had a great team around him, too.
He sure did.
For one. So for one the fucking Super Bowl.
But wait, here's what I'll say, Drew. Wait, real quick.
Seth is old and hustling. All dudes are real. I love it.
Damn, that's my guy, too. Thanks, Andrew. Appreciate you.
That's great.
Just had to put that out there. Because Sabak's not doing his job, so I got to put that out there.
What's on your mind, Perk?
Here's the beautiful thing about Brock Purdy is he was a seventh-round pick. If he was a first-round pick and he led the team to the Super Bowl or didn't lead, went, because Jared Goff went. He didn't lead the Rams. if Brock Purdy was a first round pick, you'd be like, yeah, okay. But he was Mr. Irrelevant, the last pick.
That's
of the
my
draft.
Point.
So right, yes, I bro, know what you said. Bro. So he gets extra credit. But look, Juice, it's the same thing that if Chop Robinson was a third round pick, you'd be like, okay, I'll give him some time. But Chop was a first round pick. You got to tighten up your game today, not next week. And so that where your picks bro. Makes a difference in your accomplishments,
bro.
And
when
the
I
expectations,
Kirk, Big Seth, Savak, Chad. When I came out, Mr. Irrelevant was the last pick in the 12th round. You know what I mean? So, you know, I don't give a seventh round. That ain't shit.
Says the first round pick.
Hey, guys, let's say, do you hang out watching until the 12th round?
Yeah, well, yeah. I had some teammates that were trying to get picked. I was hoping they were free agents.
Chad,
you going to be foul mouth, man. I'm the only foul mouth on this team.
Yeah, where's the bell? All right,
so, you know what? I'm glad you mentioned
OJ's bell. That's OJ's bell.
I'm glad that you mentioned Chop Robinson. So let's talk about Chop Robinson, because that was yesterday that Halfley was asked about Chop.
Yeah.
And he gave an interesting answer. Some people took that to mean that he was kind of lighting a fire under Chop. I heard Kim Bocamper today on Out to Pasture say that he kind of thought that Halfley was maybe frustrated with Chop, wants to see him be, you know, a more complete player. Some people just felt that was just the obvious, and he's just coaching him up. I'm curious. Well, Juice, did you hear the comments? We'll start with you as a Penn State brethren.
I did.
What did you take?
They want him to be a three down guy. You know what I mean? And then everybody wants to be a three down guy. Now, here's the thing about it: Halfley was just working with, you know, Micah Parsons, another Penn Stater that kind of built from the same, supposed to be built from the same cloth, even though Micah's bigger and faster than Chop is. You know, he wants a three-down guy, and that's what everybody wants when they're from their defensive end. He can't just be a pass rusher. And I thought that was fair. That's fair criticism. And he said Chop is getting there and working hard at it, but Chop's got to be a three-down guy. You got to be a three-down guy in this game, man. And I think that's important for him to make that comment in terms of, you know, like, look, year three, that's when I was rolling. You know, that's when you got to start rolling, man. He's trying to light a fire, Big Seth, is what I think he's trying to do.
I agree.
He wants him to realize that, yo, it's time to I can't curse anymore. I've already got too many going.
Yeah.
Come on. All right, it's time to shoot or get off the pot, man. You know what I mean? You know, it's like, so I want that for Chop, man. But he's got to want it himself. But same time, though, I think that he's with the right head man that could probably put him in the best position to be successful. So really, it's put up or shut up for me with Chop. And I think 3 years is plenty for me being a first round pick. We talked about, you know, and you talked about it, Chad, about first round picks getting more opportunities. 3 years, I think that's plenty. If you don't, you know, you got to put up a shut up by this
team. Yeah, and the way I look at it, I mean, the second half of Chop's rookie season was just dynamic, right? He exploded. Right. They pushed him out more in that wide nine,
right?
And he was there was a period of time there where in that window he was one of the fiercest pass rushers in the league in terms of numbers and explosive plays and all of those things. And so that was why expectations had risen even higher last year. And then obviously last year was a down year. So the question is, what's the real Chop? You know,
let me say this real quick, Seth. I'm sorry, and then we'll get back to the guy. I'm going to tell you this. I don't know what type of defense they're playing that could make him the best player he could be, but the offense I ran in, you know, with Marino, it was perfect for me, you know, option routes, 15, 12 yards, 7 yards, 8 yards, whatever it is. System means a lot, you know, when it comes to things. When it came to the other system that raggedy-ass Jimmy Johnson was trying to run, you know what I mean? That was a whole different story.
Real quick. Does it help when you have potentially the best quarterback in the history of the league?
Nah, I made Dan Marino, Chad. Watch yourself. Danny would only play 14 years if it wasn't for me. Watch yourself, player. You know what I mean?
Too good.
I love it.
Got some shit right there. Say... Tavok, hit me with that ding, man. Thank you, man.
Leaning in. What do you got, Perk? I know you're trying to get something out.
Well, I'll say this. We don't know why Hafley said what he said about Chop. He spoke the truth. We don't know if he said it just matter-of-factly, if he said it to light a fire under Chop. We're learning about Hafley, right? But we know Hafley doesn't bullshit. And so I don't know if he was trying to light a fire under Chop or if he was just being honest. But I like what he said. I'm with Juice. Chop has got to be a three-down player. And this is year three. You know, this is time to produce. And Hafley was saying that publicly. The reason for it, I don't know. Let's see what he says about some other guys. Austin Jackson and his health. Kenneth Grant and being able to produce. Let's see if he gives some other guys the same treatment. If he does not, then I think, yes, he was trying to light a fire under Chop specifically. If he does, then we know he's just a candid guy like a Vic Fangio or a Brian Flores. But
Vic Fangio.
Yeah, but I like the fact that Hafley said it. The reason why, we'll find out. But I really, really like the fact that Hafley said that publicly.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. I mean, Perk, you're right. A lot of guys, you know, they're not trying to, quote unquote, throw anybody in the bus, man. But, right. You know, whatever it is. But he also complimented him, too.
And he did.
That, you know, he didn't just kill him. He didn't just kill him, like, saying, you know, he needs to be a three-down guy. But he's also told him that he's been showing what he wanted to see from him. So, you know, here's the thing about it. And I say this all the time, Big Seth. I say this all the time, is that these guys are all auditioning for a new regime.
Right.
And, bro, it's like there's no loyalty to anybody on this football team other than a couple of free agents they might have brought in, like Malik and those guys. But the rest of them, you know, A-Chan, they just re-signed. The rest of them, they're like, that's when we went from Shula to Jimmy Johnson. Even Dan Marino, and I don't think he won't admit it. We all had to audition again. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I know I had to audition again.
Yeah.
Jimmy wanted to get rid of Danny. We all know this, Big Seth. That's
eventually. Eventually. I think he thought he was going to come in here and
Jimmy wanted a Herschel Walker deal like he got in Dallas.
Yeah.
He wanted the same thing with Dan Marino.
Yeah.
Definitely wanted that same situation.
It was interesting. All right, we're going to get into more real quick. I just want to make sure, because he just popped his head in. We alluded to this. He's out on the West Coast. Our guy, Josh Corey. Hey, first of all, thanks for joining us, man. I know you just got off the Miles Garrett ticker tape parade. So he's out.
Oh, boys. I am so hungover. I've been celebrating for a day and a half here. What's up, you guys? Thanks for having me. You know, Rams in the house. I got the Puka Nacua jersey on. You know, like, I'm feeling for the off season. I feel I'm very into football right now, and how can you blame me?
For sure. Well, we can't. You guys definitely made a big splash. But you know, we're going to talk heavy Dolphins here, but we wanted to make sure you had an opportunity to get some shine. If you don't know Josh, you probably know some of his work. You can go listen to his episode of The Fish Tank, get to know him a little bit more. And he has this amazing 8-episode series podcast called From Writer to Fighter. Josh is a comedic writer. And he's a little bit of a boxer now these days, too, even if he does have a reconstructed nose. So, no, so spoiler alert. All right, spoiler alert. All right, cool. So
Juice. Michael Jackson right there. That's
a little good. That's right. See? Okay. Okay.
Too funny. So, man, there was something else that I got thrown off on, Juice, when you got so hot and heavy on this, the Dan Marino trade. It threw me off my game a little bit because I just couldn't fathom.
Well, good. You know, that's what I'm talking about. You know, don't talk about my man. You know what? It's this Jimmy Johnson talk, man. Every time Jimmy comes on our conversations, man, I get fired up, Big Seth.
Juice, I can get it back on track. So, do you think L.A. can change an Ohio loser like Miles Garrett into a winner? And we just talk because most Ohio people are used to losing. Like, can that happen?
Oh, man.
Hey, Savant, mute his mic. His mic, Savant.
Right. LeBron James on line one.
There you go.
You know, these Pittsburgh cats, man, they ain't got nothing going on in Pittsburgh. It might all by those three lousy ass rivers. You know, the Ohio one's the only one that matters. Well, I'm talking about the three rivers I'm talking about. But the Ohio one's the only one that matters because it takes care of all those little punk ass rivers over in Pennsylvania, man.
That's where we send all our shit. But we got six Super Bowls.
Anyhow, Josh, welcome, Josh. Welcome.
Yo, man. Thanks. Thanks, Juice. I'm glad to be here. Hey, maybe Miles Garrett will pull LeBron where he has to get out of Cleveland, go get 2-3 rings, and then when he's about 36, 37, he goes back to Cleveland when they fully rebuilt and they got Arch Manning or whoever. And then he goes wins the ring with the Browns.
This is for you.
Yeah. If he can pull that off, then Miles Garrett's an even better player than I thought he was. If he can, and I'm not talking about LA. I think he's a good situation. I think if he can go back to Cleveland at 30 something.
Yeah. Well, that's a man. You know, go ahead.
Yeah, I'm asking, man. Honestly, what did Verse do to get out of LA, man?
That's the question.
How do you, it's
tough. This is part of the reason I tell people this is really not a bad deal for the Cleveland Browns, because Jaren Verse is an excellent football player on a rookie deal. And he gives the Browns what they need, which is financial flexibility right now. And they're still going to have a pass rush. It's obviously not going to be as good, but they're still going to have a pass rush. They get some draft capital. They get a first round pick next year. Like, we love Jaren Verse, man. We loved him. I think the Browns were sitting around waiting for a deal like this to come along. And the Rams are in such win now mode that they're maybe the only team where this makes sense, where they would trade blue chip young guy. And that's why, you know, I'm happy about the deal, but it makes sense for both sides. I think if you're a Browns fan, you do not need to be too upset about this.
I think it's a great opportunity for them. No, I'm with you completely. Look, they are cellar dwellers. I mean, that's who they've always been. Right. And so what Miles Garrett, what good – other than the fact that if you had this great relationship and what legendary players mean to cities, he was asking to be traded.
Y'all gonna stop talking about my Cleveland, man.
Wait a second. I'm not talking about the city. I'm talking about that team.
I'm just saying, man. Y'all been killing you, Chad. Jeez,
I'm a Green Road guy, for crying out loud.
I think even Josh had a little slight one in there about my city, man.
I didn't know this. So Mike just said Verse is from Ohio. I didn't realize that. So
I didn't realize that either.
But is he excited to go home? Ohio.
There you go. He definitely bounced as soon as he could start walking.
Played his college ball at Florida State.
He walked to L.A.
He did. There you go, Savant. Hey, Josh, I'll say this. I like the way that the Rams do the F those picks.
Yeah, and F them picks.
F them picks, and it really means the first round pick, because if you look in the third and fourth, right, they hit Puka Nacua and all these other guys.
Yeah, how about the fifth, baby, right? Yeah, I mean, he's like a fifth round pick. No, I agree with that. It's like we know that our window is closing. You know, I personally believe that I think Stafford's got, you know, the new deal would suggest 2 years, but I think maybe it's one. And I think the extra money was sort of like, here, we believe in you. The Ty Simpson thing was nothing. So like, if you're ready to go 2 years, we'll take you. But I think McVay knows in his heart of hearts that this is the year. So I think they had to do everything to go in. You know, from a Rams perspective, I know you guys talked up, but just talking about from my team makeup, I mean, obviously we're happy to have Miles Garrett on our team.
Yeah.
Look at this. I'm glad that we have Miles Garrett on our team, but we got outstanding at a position we were already very good at. And, so we're going to have to look at some of our other positions, such as wide receiver, where, you know, we have no depth. And listen, if Puka Nacua, my man, goes down or goes to jail or goes to rehab, we're still going to have a tough season, regardless of whether Miles Garrett is there rushing the passer or not.
No doubt. Well, yeah.
Real quick. Aaron Donald and it's good.
Yeah. Did he text you, Josh? He's texting everybody. Have you?
He didn't text me. I heard that his wife tweeted, "Y'all are funny," which doesn't bode well for the truth. But I'll tell you this: Aaron Donald, he's been coaching football at USC. He's local. He's been staying in great shape, and I would not be surprised.
Stop it.
I would not be surprised if now, and I'm not talking about training camp, but I'm saying late August, early September comes around.
Yeah.
He gets the opportunity to skip training camp.
If they can start,
you know what? You know what, yeah. Josh? You're not, I mean, that's a better move right there.
I think this applies because it definitely applies to Miami. I think it may apply to my LA as well. Are you worried when a guy from Ohio goes into a place like Miami or LA and has a lot of money and has a lot of notoriety? Juice,
I'm more worried about somebody that comes from sorry ass Pittsburgh.
Absolutely nothing there but beers.
Iron City beer.
Juice, the way I look at it, and let me explain it. If you're a millionaire in Pittsburgh, it doesn't matter if you were worth $1 million or $100 million, if you're a celebrity or whatnot. But when you go to L.A., when you go to Miami, it's different. Mm. Are you worried at all that Miles Garrett's going to be like, L.A. is kind of badass. Like, I could actually spend my money here because in Cleveland, it doesn't matter.
You always – I'm going to tell you this, and that's a great question, Chad. And let me address that real quick.
Okay, and then always, I get the next one after that.
Well, Big Seth, you know, I'm with co-drivers, man.
You're driving, bro. I'm
co-drivers. Let me drive this question in the chat real quick. You know, it's always a question when you've got young guys that are drafted and you also got free agents with a lot of money when they go to cities like Miami and L.A. Always a question. Pocket full of money, no responsibilities for the young guys. Pocket full of money, responsibilities, but they don't give a damn about them as older guys. And it's not like you go and get traded to Green Bay where there's nothing else to do or Buffalo. You know what I mean? Those are all different situations. Damn. Right there. You know, so no matter of those two cities, it don't matter. You know, Miles Garrett is he's a beast about his game. I think he's a real true pro. And we've seen that over and over and over again. He's going to be able to enjoy L.A., but I think he's still going to show up every single time. I don't care. And, Seth, you know this, Big Seth. We didn't care about what anybody did Monday through Saturday. As long as they show up on Sunday, and I guarantee that's going to – look, Lawrence Taylor's a prime example. Lawrence Taylor played golf, you know, 18 holes, maybe 36 before 1 o'clock kickoff. And then went out there and had 3.5 sacks and whatever he did, you know. Yeah. Just show up on Sunday for me. I think Miles Garrett's going to be that guy that will show up every single Sunday, Monday, Thursday. Well, for us, for the Dolphins, always going to be on Sunday because we have no prime time.
Sunday, 1 o'clock.
Well, 4 o'clock is on the West Coast, whatever it might be.
Speaking of the Miami Dolphins, in the last Fish Tank Live, Chris Perkins gave a very unique – description of Malik Willis's play. You were a little disappointed. He flexed that writer's muscle. You went into your toolbox and just remind us again last week how did Malik Willis look, Perk?
He looked like ass. Okay. He looked like ass.
So all right.
I remember. Yeah.
How was he this week? Because it sounds like things have gotten a little bit better.
Things have gotten better. Malik was good today. So here's the thing to keep in mind. As I said, he looked like ass, but that wasn't the end of the story. Everybody's going to have a bad day. First year starter, new system, all that stuff. How do you bounce back? So that was last Wednesday. They had an OTA on Friday that media wasn't allowed to see. Halfley said that was probably Malik's best practice of the offseason. Fast forward to yesterday, Malik did have a good day. He did improve. What I liked was he wasn't making the same mistake twice yesterday when we saw him. That carried through to today. It was a little worse today, but I'm not worried about Malik. He's bounced back. He's improved on his mistakes. He's still throwing the ball with conviction. Last week there were some errant throws. This week there haven't been as many errant throws. So it looks like he got back on the same page with those receivers, or they learned the offense, or whatever needed to be done got done. You guys know I'm not a huge Malik Willis fan. I'm not going to root against him by any stretch. I thought the Dolphins should have got Kirk Cousins and then gone in next year and got a rookie quarterback. Easy, Juice, easy. But having said that.
We couldn't afford all that guaranteed money.
Whatever. I mean, having said that, Malik, I think, will be a good quarterback. I think he will be a productive quarterback. Will he be a superstar? I don't know, but I don't think he needs to be. I think they need to put him in a system like Seattle did with Sam Darnold, right? And like we see with other teams, Denver with Bo Nix, where he doesn't have to be Patrick Mahomes or Tom Brady. He just needs to be Malik Willis, and everybody else can be what they are and they can thrive. To me, that's the key with Malik, is the system. Right? Put him in a system where he has a good defense, where he can be Bo Nix, he can be Sam Darnold, then you can win with him. He can be Jared Goff, but don't make him have to be Brady or Mahomes. That's what I see happening with the Dolphins, and that's what I saw happening with Malik, is that I don't see superstar caliber talent here, but I see good enough talent to advance in the playoffs. And that's what I saw in his bounce back days today, that he learned from his mistakes.
Yeah. Go ahead, Seth.
Well, no, I was going to ask you a question, so maybe you're going to answer it. I'm good.
No, go ahead. That's the question.
I wanted to hear your perspective on that, because I feel like minicamp is the opportunity for those errant throws and those things to happen. But B, this is a young receiving core. And how do we know how much of that was on Malik and how much of that might have been on the wideouts? And I figured I would ask the wideout.
Yeah, I like that. That's a great question. Go to the wideout, because we're the smartest and most brilliant players on the football field. And that's a wise decision, Big Seth. I love your red cup. That's a sneaky one, Perk, but I feel you, baby. look, I'm going to tell you this. The defense cheats all the time. They cheat all the time. When install comes in, when the offensive install goes in, the defensive install goes in to counter the offensive install. Always, we're blessed that our defense is ahead of our offense right now. You know, if our offense was ahead of our defense, we'd have way more problems to worry about. But the defense, when they see what the script is, the script. These offensive guys and defensive guys go over the script all the time. And the defense always cheats. They always cheat. So, like you talked about, Big Seth, when you get in these mini camps, you get in these situations, we're going to take more chances now than we will in a regular game. He's going to take more shots down the field. He's going to take more shots over the middle. He's going to do different things now than he would do, hopefully, in a football game when it's like tuck and run or dump it down. So, yeah, the hell with the defense, man. They're all a bunch of cheaters. Always been a bunch of cheaters, man. They hold, they grab. There's no officials out there. You know, they get away with murder, literally murder. I've had five jerseys in one practice they had to replace because of these dudes, man. So yeah, he's gonna be all right.
I got a quick one. Your college teammate Terry Smith, he had me running quarterback for the scout team.
Yep,
and he told the defense what we're gonna run. Yep. I didn't run it. I ran this pitch the other way. Everybody killed me.
Yep.
Running back scored an 80-yard touchdown.
Yep.
And they were like, no, that wasn't the play.
Yeah, run the look, man. You one of those guys, huh, Van Horn? It's going to be your own thing, huh? It's going to be your own thing.
Well, no. If you know they're giving you the play, if you know the defense knows your play, like, you got to do your own thing.
But there's a purpose behind that, Chad. Like, there's a purpose behind that.
They're trying to get the team ready for Friday, Chad.
Juice, this
you
is
can't do something they're not going to do.
This is going to be a little bit more.
Go, himself.
This is going to be a little bit more like what you dealt with when Coach Johnson took over, where things were skewed more heavily towards the defense, right? So if they're already starting from a place of cheating, which, Savak, make sure you clip that because that's going to make great the social media rounds, is Juice's theory on defense always cheats.
Always.
Now the defensive coordinator is also the head man, so it'll be interesting to see how that's
going to cheat.
Well, there you go. All right. I think it is time for the Van Horn Law Group legal zone is what I think. Speaking of cheating.
Are we that far into it already?
I mean, it's warmed up.
We got some time. We got things
Josh, I was just getting warmed up, bro.
It's only
I believe you, Juice. I saw you heating up there.
It's not even 7 o'clock.
There's steam coming out of your ears.
I thought I was a co-host, but I guess I'm not.
Wait a minute. But was there another topic you'd like to cover first, Juice, before we get into the legal zone?
Nah, man, I was a first round pick, man. I ain't got to cover nothing, Big Seth.
He's never covered anything in his life.
Wait, I got a question for the Dolphins fans and analysts here. So you talked before I hopped off the Zoom here for a second. You talked about how does it have more to do with the receivers and more to do with the quarterback that the pass game coming in. What do you think the chances are of adding a Deebo Samuel, a Keenan Allen, just a veteran where Malik can dump the ball off to these guys? You think that's not going to happen?
No,
I don't. I'll go first. I don't think it's going to happen. I would like it. I would have liked if they would have kept Jalen Waddle to help Malik, but obviously the rebuild says no. We're getting our own guys with an attitude that we like. I think that was part of the Jalen Waddle trade, quite honestly, that not that Jalen has a bad attitude at all, but Jalen is not probably as serious as they would prefer. And so this is a total cleansing. We know that once we get rid of Tyreek and Jalen Waddle in the same year, it's a two-year rebuild at least to get the receiving core back. They're going to take their L. They already told us they weren't going for any high-price free agents. I don't think they're going for any mid-price free agents. So I think what we're going to see happen is after the training camp cuts, they might add a low-priced wide receiver. You saw who they just added, Jalen Reagor, who is, with all due respect to him, has washed out at, three teams? They're not going to add a big-name receiver, so you kind of have what you have.
And you get what you get.
Together. Yeah, and they're going to see if they can make the best out of what they've got on this year's roster, see what Caleb Douglas can do. I think they're high on Chris Bell.
And yeah, Chris Bell, yeah.
Year, yeah, he's a beast. I really like him. And then after this be the year, one. You recalibrate, and if you have to draft somebody high next year, you do. But I don't think they're going after a high-priced free agent, even a medium-priced free agent receiver.
Has any team ever tanked for a wide receiver before?
Jeremiah
Smith?
Jeremiah Smith might be that guy. Who knows? You never know.
Hey, Kirk, I got a good option, though. I mean, if you're looking for a locker room guy with good hands, there might be a guy named O.J. McDuffie that's available. I'm just saying. I think he got a couple routes in him.
I got disability in me.
After he just ripped defensive players, I don't think Jeff Hafley is going to want Juice, man. Juice got to apologize. Juice got to do a public apology to get back in the league.
I got to go on the podium right away, Perk, and be like, oh, I said what I said, I didn't mean it, man. I'm just doing a podcast.
For the right number. Juice. I feel like for the right number. Even a low price wide receiver 5.
Yeah, I think my veteran minimum is like 1 point something million right now, Ted. Yeah. You think they'd sign me for that?
Yeah, I bet they would.
I think I'd go out there and pull a hamstring right away, and I'd say, pay me.
Tell me the money. All of us
hang out with Troy and now. And yeah.
Damn right. I've rehabbed the whole damn year.
OBJ just got a job. You never know.
Well, he's still
Oh boy,
he's still.
Of all places too.
right, Big Seth, let's move. Keep it rolling, Big Seth. What are you doing, Seth? Let's go. Keep the show moving.
What are you doing?
I just turned it over, you know, like on Zoom where you name someone else the host. I just did that. So I was, thank you. All right. Well, in that case, Chad, we need to talk about this because Congress has invited NFL Commissioner Roger Goodell to testify about the league's use of streaming services. Is this like, is this one of these kind of anti-monopoly deals? What do we got going on?
Well, good thing Congress has nothing else to worry about.
Right.
There's nothing else in the world that we got to take seriously. So let's start with that. But Roger Goodell may not want to sit in front of Congress because every football fan out there understands right now, like, how many subscriptions should it take to watch football?
Right.
Now, the NFL has a special antitrust carve-out from Congress dating back to 1961. That's older than almost everybody on this call, except for Savant.
Oh, I thought you were coming for me, Chad.
Hey, we have a bond, so I'm not going to call you old. Back then, football, as you know, Savant, was on regular TV. You had to do the bunny ears, whatever. You had to get it on. But now fans are chasing games across CBS, Fox, NBC, ESPN, Amazon Prime, Netflix, Peacock, YouTube TV, and Sunday Ticket, whatever the hell that is. And the NFL is trying to say that 87% of games are still free on TV. We all know that's bullshit. But that means that at least 13% are not free. And this is huge money that we're dealing with. NFL media deals are worth billions with a B per year. Sunday Ticket alone has reported $2 billion a year. And a jury once hit the NFL with a $4.7 billion antitrust verdict.
That's a lot of Bs, man.
With a B. but that judge was a B, and that judge was like, nah, we're good.
Judge was a B.
And it kicked it out. Yep. So they hit it with it. So Congress question right now is fair. Did we give the NFL an antitrust exemption to make football available to fans? Or did we give them permission to turn America's favorite sport into a subscription scavenger hunt? The NFL cannot make billions and just fleece Americans. You know, that's American. You can make money, but if you get special protection from Congress, you should not be shocked when Congress asks, who is really paying the price? So Roger Goodell is going to go, and I would like to be Roger Goodell because he gets paid really good money for dealing with this.
Yeah.
But I would not want to be him when he goes in front of Congress.
There it is.
That's all I got to try to tell you right there.
But. It did. The legal zone had a little idea.
I was going to say I tried to tell you on there, but I didn't want to take that away.
Oh, you should have dropped it in. You should have dropped it in. That would have been a great way to end it.
I'm going
to
tell you what, man. That right there. You know, the NFL is the mob.
Yeah. Right.
It's absolutely the mob, man. And, you know,
100%.
You know, the people always, everybody get all pissed off about the NFL. Like, I'm not going to watch anymore. I'm not going to buy this and that. I became a, don't tell anybody this, y'all. I'm not telling anybody. We don't have anybody in the comments or anything, right? Nobody's really listening. Right?
All off the record.
We got all of LA listening right now.
I was a Dallas Cowboy fan growing up. Because Willie had 4, 6, and 10 on the TV. And the Cowboys were always on Channel 4. That's how they became America's team, for the poor people. That's why the poor people love, like myself, love the Cowboys, because they were on Channel 4 CBS every single Sunday at 4 o'clock. They were on Monday night on ABC, playing Monday night, and they were on every Thanksgiving, and they were winning. That's how they became America's team, for the poor people that only had 4, 6, and 10.
But Jules, three channels,
that was it.
No, that shows the impact of government, though, because you plant that seed that many years ago, and it grows to this, where they still have, like, no, we shouldn't be taxed at a certain level. And I get it for planting the seed, but at this point, like, we got to be reasonable. And everybody's making money, especially at the top level. Like, let's let people watch football for free. Like, what are we doing?
I'm with you. Good stuff.
Hey, hold up. Let me ask that, Chad, this. Do you have all those streaming services?
I steal one from you, one from Savant.
There you go. We got them. We still got it. I got all of them, too. Yeah, right. We got all those streaming services. We got to do it.
Working on his internet.
I'm stealing mine from you.
And I'm about to have L.A. local channels. Right. So, like, we're
going to figure out. All of our 7-day trials are up, and we still got this. We still got
I'm stealing my YouTube from Juice. Every time I put on YouTube, OJ's face pops up, and Marianne's like, what in the hell is going on? I'm like, nothing. I turn it off real quick.
Hey, if I need to watch anything, I get an OJ's SUV. And he has a magic box that shows everything around the world, whatever I need to watch at any point.
That's right.
He would never have
all those networks.
That's all
I'm trying to tell y'all.
All right. That was the Van Horn Law Group Legal Zone. It is time to roll into my favorite segment. I tried to tell y'all, I don't know, who does anybody not have one tonight? So I know I don't want to make sure. Well, you just heard Chad's, and he told
me. I got a good one.
Oh, you said you do need one or you don't need one?
I need a 70-second one.
No, you can't sit it out, Perk. Come on, man.
All right,
man.
All right, I got one. All right.
Deuce, are you kicking it off?
I'll kick it off, man. All right. Mine's going to be short and sweet because I get a little – I've already said enough. You know, I've got beef. Savak, I think, has got a trigger finger and shit. You know what I mean? You know, so.
Hey, hold on.
Shit. Yeah, I try to tell y'all. Life in this football game moves faster than you can imagine. I was blessed to have 9 years in the league. We interviewed Teron Armstead today. Amazing interview today. And he had 12 years in the league. Phenomenal accomplishment, right? So I can't wait for y'all to hear the podcast next week when we have and when we drop Teron. But just recently, I had the blessing of witnessing my son Cameron graduate from high school. It was a long, tough journey. But, man, that hit different for me, right? Standing there watching him walk across the stage, it took me back. I started remembering all the guys I played with in high school, talented dudes, dreamers just like me. But the reality was most of these dudes were never going to suit up and play tackle football again after those Friday night lights. That dream ended for them right there on those local fields. Then I think about when I was leaving Penn State, probably heading to the NFL draft, hopefully headed to the NFL draft, walking out of the locker room for the last time. I looked around at all my brothers. The majority of them, their tackle football days were done too. College was the peak, and that was it. No more pads, no more Saturdays. And after grinding through 9 years in the NFL, the same truth hit me hard. The day came when I realized I would never play tackle football again. One chapter closes, whether you're ready or not, and I definitely wasn't ready for a whole boatload of reasons. I felt like I could still play at the high level. I thought if I could just go out there and get my foot right, I could do another 2 or 3 years. That wasn't the case. But you know what warms my heart right now, guys? It's seeing these young Miami Dolphins players out there here now realizing their dreams, chasing it, living it, building something special in this league. They're in the moment, soaking it up, and I love that for them. It all goes so fast, man. 1 minute, you're the young gun fighting for your spot. Next thing, you're watching your son graduate. So cherish every snap, every practice, every win. The game teaches you lessons that last way longer than the final whistle. So no matter what happens this year, give these young guys some grace. They're just trying to realize their 5-year-old dreams. They're not trying to disappoint you. They're trying not to disappoint themselves. I try to tell you.
Preach, Juice.
Nice.
Man, Juice sandbagged. He told me today, I don't have anything. I'm like, man, good stuff. Really good stuff. And eye-opening stuff. Appreciate it. All right, Perk, you said you got something, man. Showtime. We're going to look it in just like Jeff Hafley does.
All right. I tried to tell y'all. You got something, Chad?
Brother. I'm trying to tell y'all about your internet.
I paid the bill today. I tried to tell y'all Jeff Hafley is the real deal. I had an exclusive one-on-one with Jeff Hafley today. And really what stood out to me about Haf is that he stays on point. He talks about culture and he talks about building a standard. And that's all he talked about today. I asked him, what about the getting back to the playoffs? I'm not concerned about that. What about Malik Willis? I'm not concerned about that. What about Chop and Jonah and KG developing? I'm not concerned about that. He's concerned about what they do today and how it helps them a year from now, 2 years from now. He's not concerned about tomorrow or 2 weeks from now. His focus is amazing. I compared him to Pat Riley in that very narrow sense. I'm not saying that Hap is going to be a Hall of Fame coach, but just in the ability to stay focused on the message, where he talked, Hapley talked about defense and being tough and building the right kind of team. And you ask them about other things, that doesn't matter. That doesn't matter. That doesn't matter. I respect Hapley's ability to stay focused and talk about building culture and setting a standard, because ultimately that's what's going to lead to success. I'm not saying it's going to lead to a Super Bowl victory or even a Super Bowl appearance, but I think if he stays with this, it will be a successful rebuild. And by the way, you know, that's a term that Hapley hates. I'll go into that later. But I like what Hapley is doing. I like his focus. I think he's the real deal. I told y'all last week that he talks the talk and walks the walk. I got more assurances about that today. I like what Hapley is building. I tried to tell y'all.
Yeah, love that part.
That's why you give a, that's why you give a columnist a one-on-one. Is that you? Give
yeah.
It sounds like Hapley gave him his hot spot too. Like he turned the hot spot on his phone too. Like, whatever makes it work.
He did. Savak, all the way out in Michigan in the Mario Kart chair. What'd you try to tell us, brother?
For the red show.
As a matter of fact.
I tried to tell y'all not to be mad when you see how Tua looks with Atlanta. Well, now that the early stories are rolling out as teams have gotten their OTAs underway, naturally we're hearing a familiar tale coming out of Atlanta. Tua's accuracy is standing out in practice, with Kevin Stefanski acknowledging that accuracy is among the most, if not the most important trait you want in a starting quarterback. And it's starting to look like Tua may already have the inside track for the starting job. Surprise, surprise. He's also embracing his new role as a mentor to Michael Penix Jr., and they've reportedly been observed working together and even, gasp, enjoying working together? Now, all of that's well and good, but as we know, it means very little right now. And us Dolphin fans know better than to get excited about Tua looking good at practice. A lesson Atlanta might have to learn the hard way. Or maybe they won't. Because if y'all recall, on previous I Tried to Tell Yous, gosh, this is getting so meta, I said the ideal landing spot for Tua would be a domed team with an offensive-minded head coach, weapons around him, and all the things Miami never consistently gave him at the same time. Then, when he signed with the Falcons, who aligned with basically everything I said, I followed it up by telling our fans not to get upset when they see how he looks in that uniform. And I don't mean from a fashion sense. And I'm doubling down on that one. I'm serious, guys. I know it's like when you have a bad breakup, and then you see your ex out with somebody else, and she looks great. And the guy she's with looks, well, you just didn't know people could have muscles in some of those places. But take heart, my brothers and sisters. Ours is coming. And despite hearing that every damn year for the last 2.5 decades, I actually think it's happening this time. So sit tight and be prepared to dive in headfirst with everything you've got. Not unlike myself at the first real show I ever went to. Here, I'll show you. Watch the left side of the stage. The time to commit is now. Because I don't know if the next era of Dolphins football can handle another bandwagon bouncing on through here, rocking me mama like a wagon wheel until they fall off the second things get tough. I didn't much care for it the last time. I'd prefer to do without it this time. Because when this franchise finally gets going in the right direction, that's for us. okay? The ones who suffered through all the sadness and roller coasters, like getting promised a trip to Disney World and waking up at Busch Gardens. No offense to Busch Gardens, but they know who they are, and they know who they're not. Just like Miami soon will. And that is what I tried to tell you.
I mean,
man, wow. Come on, man. I know. Come on, not man. That's not, that is not fair at all, man.
What is going on?
No, I got
no fair. Outstanding. Everybody
has the same amount of time as me.
Now, that power strip still is dangerous back to the left. Like,
don't
power
worry about that. Don't worry about that.
That was Zabak. That was outstanding, man.
Wow. Yeah, that's a great audio visuals there, boy. That's no, I mean, you, I'm you're talking about
question though. Like, I'll be the one. So, Zabak, who produced that? Who did you hire?
The Emmy and Jason winning producer.
Who did you hire? That's right.
Don't you forget it.
That's right. Absolutely.
Seth never got that. OJ never got that. Perk never got that. Like, what, no. who'd you produce? Who got you to produce that?
I'm about to hire somebody. Chad, we're going to hire somebody, man.
I mean, this thing is
ain't coming up short no more like
we're
that.
We're going to have to do a second hour. I mean, this is where it's headed.
Let him go first, Seth. Shit, yeah, man.
Or last. First or last, right. For sure. Josh,
I look like, you know, I look like pregame meal.
This is my first time doing. I try to tell y'all, so I don't think. Yeah, I got one.
Sorry, let's go, Josh.
I wasn't able to make the show back when we made the Ty Simpsons pick. This is going to be a Rams centric. I tried to tell y'all, but seems only fitting. But just imagine, I tried to tell you, that Sean McVay knew what he was doing all along. And this Myles Garrett pick proves it. Because what this Myles Garrett trade says to me is that we are in a one-year window. And if we can assume we are in a one-year window, that means we had to choose Ty Simpson where we did, because that means that we're going to end up with the very last pick in the draft next year. And that means we would have needed a quarterback to replace Matt Stafford. So even though the chatter was all about Sean McVay is not on the same page as Les Snead, and they're in a disagreement and they should have picked a wide receiver. No. Sean McVay, he was doing what he needed to do to protect his star quarterback's ego. And in reality, he knew this was the best chance he was going to get at his future quarterback. So the Garrett trade solidifies it. We're in a one-year window. We got to go all in here. And then in 2027, sorry, Matt, I'm not sure McVay believes that your back can make it that long, and he's going to have his wide receiver, he's going to have his big quarterback Ty Simpson stepping in to build the next Rams dynasty. So I tried to tell you all the Ty Simpson pick was where it's at, and Sean McVay knew what he was doing all along. Live from LA.
Wow. Yeah. Bring that shit east then, man. Come see us in Miami.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bring Ty over here. We're going to bust him in his mouth.
Hey, that's more Ty Simpson references than we had all season. And that's
what I'm saying. Oh, too good. Josh, good job.
Nicely
done.
Thank you. Nicely done.
That was good, man. That's really good.
Gentlemen, I tried to tell y'all that punting ain't a bad thing.
Oh, wow.
Actually, I didn't try to tell you that. Dave Wannstedt did when he was revealing his run it, punt it offensive game plan.
Yeah.
Wani also tried to tell you to watch out for those trap games, that worrying about things in the past were a mute point, Perk, yeah. And yes, that if Miami had to send New Orleans a first-round pick for Ricky Williams, it would mean Ricky rushed for 1,500 yards and we'd be in the Super Bowl. Seeing Dave Wannstedt at Dolphins minicamp this week brought back tons of memories for me.
Yeah.
Plenty of them made me chuckle. Some of them made me a little frustrated, and all of them made me think. I thought about the good times and the bad. I thought about the laughs, the missed opportunities for some generationally talented players, but also so many great wins and memorable performances. I thought about Dave's 41-23 record. That's 64% winning percentage, guys. 41-23 record before Ricky went Crocodile Dundee on him. Two playoff appearances. And of course, we all know by now he was the head coach of the last Miami Dolphins team to win a postseason game. How many years ago? 25 friggin' years ago. And know that there's something else Wanstead tried to tell us. And it's that an aggressive physical defense, a bruising running game, and a capable quarterback can lead your team to a whole lot more wins than losses. And guess what? He didn't just try to tell us. You can bet your ass he's telling Jeff Hafley the exact same thing, probably right now at dinner. And apparently, he's been telling him this his entire career. Half told us today exactly how important Dave Wanstead is to him. He changed his family's life. He gave him his first real shot in this sport. He mentored him at Pitt and everywhere else. Shoot, current Miami Dolphins head coach Jeff Hafley visited former Miami Dolphins head coach Dave Wanstead at his home in Chicago when the Packers were playing a road game in Chicago. That is no small thing, folks. And neither is Dave Wanstead's presence in Miami. Rest assured, the current Finns head coach will be leaning on the former Finns head coach and his prolific mustache at some point or many points this season. And whether or not that makes you queasy, it's a damn fact. So know that going forward on 4th-and-12 from your own 30 is a thing of the past. Know that 3rd-and-1 probably doesn't mean a fade to a 5-7 wideout. And also remember, punting ain't a bad thing. Know what I mean? I tried to tell y'all.
Excellent. Very inside reference.
I love that. I love that.
In the house, man. I had to do it.
Yeah, man. Nice job.
Wanstead.
By the way, the mustache is not as significant as it used to be. Wani has gotten gray. He's lost some weight. He looks good, but the mustache isn't as prominent as it used. I didn't know who he was. When I first saw him, I didn't know who he was.
Come on. You didn't recognize him?
He's a silver fox.
He's not even a silver fox. I think it's like all white now, right?
You're right.
Siberian fox.
And he still wears like size 9.5 size shoe, and he's 6'4". You know what I mean? So, his body's going through his feet for lack of support. You know what I mean?
He was standing.
I love Ronnie though, man. He was really good to me, man. I love Ronnie.
He was a good dude. He was standing there with Trace Armstrong and Jeff Hafley. And I knew Trace. I didn't know who the other dude was. And I asked somebody, and they said it's a former Dolphins coach. And that's when it hit me. But
he said they didn't even know who it was. They were like,
I saw him. He had his back to me.
I didn't ask. I hope not David Fironis.
No, they don't know anything about
Dolphin history around here, man. Kirk does some.
One of the Dolphins people, yeah.
Rest
of
have no idea.
It was good to see Trace out there. Yeah, it was good to see Trace out there, who is Jeff Hafley's agent, by the way. And then Lewis Oliver was out there. Zach Thomas
was out there. I didn't know Lewis was out there.
Was out there yesterday. Zach Thomas was out there yesterday. And then, Harvey Green came out today, so... Yeah,
Perk, I'm not allowed to be on the field anymore, man.
No, stop. Stop.
Real talk. Tell him, Seth.
Stop, man.
Because I'm in media now, I'm relegated to.
Oh, yeah, you're media. You're not in the
No, because he might take one of their spots. That's the problem.
That's what he told us.
You guys watched Chad. You watched The Wire, right? You saw that show, The Wire.
I'm gonna tell you this.
In the famous words of the congressman, she.
Clearly, I'm not saying you can get out there and do a puka dance or anything like. But
damn.
No way, man. Please, I can't even walk to the mailbox without limping.
Well. You know, maybe there's something to this. If the last time the Dolphins won a playoff game was 2001, and you bring back the head coach from that era, you bring back the linebacker from that era.
Now,
Trace was already in Oakland at that point, and you bring back the PR director from that.
Right.
You know, maybe they're just trying to get some of that good juju into the
Good vibes. Good vibes.
Hey, Josh, the Rams would never do that to Lawrence McCutcheon.
Oh, wait. Well, this was good stuff, man. Juice, is it okay? Well, you know what? I'll let you decide. Since you're driving, I'm just co-hosting here right now. You can tell us when we can get the hell. Oh, you know what? We can't let this one go. Thank you, Mike. Chris Greer lands in Detroit today.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, that's some news. Caught a lot of hate, man. Okay, like, let that man move on with his life. Right. Got a job. He's a good man. Probably a perfect situation for him. He doesn't have to call the shots.
Yep,
he can offer. Yeah, you can go to a good football team, offer good advice. You know what it looks like as a general manager, good, bad, or indifferent. I still think he found a lot of good football players that played down here. He just unfortunately missed on some really important ones as well.
Bro, that's ideal for a lot of these guys, man. It's not even like what he's doing right now, being part of their organization. You got quarterbacks that were starters that have been backups for 10 years. You didn't know where the hell they were.
Yep.
You know, I mean, you got head coaches that end up going to some other organization. They might be coordinators or they might just be
consultants.
Quality control. Who knows? Consultants. Yeah. That's what happens in the league, man. You know, and they've got some money. Chris Greer's got money from this team.
Oh my God.
Being fired, you made a lot of money and you're gonna make some more money when they let you go. And then you just continue to, you know, stack them Benjamins, man. So good for him. Good for Chris. Yeah. You know what I mean? Didn't work out for us over two decades, but it is what it is.
It is what it is. That's exactly right.
You know, and being in Detroit, Dan Campbell, they know each other.
I mean, yep. Mm-hmm.
Chris was here for 12 coaches, probably, too.
Exactly.
It knows them all.
So exactly. At least they had a coach in place, so he doesn't have to deal with that. But like, that doesn't make any damn sense.
He's not going to the general manager.
All respect to the guy that lost for 20 seasons in a row, or whatever it was.
Damn.
We didn't lose all those seasons, Chad. You know what? You're lucky your name's up here.
I mean,
you've been bashing us all day.
I mean, if I lost 20 seasons in a row, I'd probably take my name off it, too. I'm like, nah, I wasn't here.
Damn,
so.
Man.
All right, Tim. Hey, everybody. Yeah. Thanks for diving in.
Oh.
Dive up in that fish tank. Who that? Sitting down with Seth Living. Seth. OJ. Juice Woo. Man. Ooh, and. This is strictly for them true fans, golf fans, number one. Of course, y'all, this ain't no ordinary sports talk. Dive up in that fish tank. Go get your aqua orange. Yeah, it's time to dive up in that fish tank. It's only legendary talking when you dive up in that fish tank.